तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः।
They say that air travels through air. It is not through sound, it's through air. That by air that we are able to transmit sound. But Bhagavan tells us that it is not air, it is actually even finer than air, that it is ether. But we are not able to, because ether is even more finer element than air, we are not able to comprehend ether, we are not able to understand. We are not able to, air we can feel, you know, you move your hand, you can feel air. But ether, how to feel? How? So this understanding, it goes way beyond the scientists. And the scientists say, oh, sound travels through air. Yes, sound travels through air, because air is produced next. And the next element that is produced, both sound and touch are present. So in a way they are right, but the presence of sound indicates that ether, sky is present. So this is the point that is coming out from this verse. The relationship, exactly as the seer it has seen, in the purport, a very nice explanation is given. So if I were to describe a person, Mr. So-and-so, so Mr. So-and-so is tall, dark, handsome, he has nice hair, red highlights, wears a spectacle. Like this, if we describe a person, immediately the visualization is there in the mind, that, oh, such a person is there, oh, yeah. If I were to describe, oh, mango is sweet, oh, it's so sweet, you know, it's like sugar, it's like honey, nectar, honey. You know, if I were to describe in so many ways, then immediately there's visualization in the mind how sweet the mango is. So this is the relationship of sound that is mentioned in this purport. Deeper into this topic, then when we describe an object, there is an object, there is an object. Now this object can be material or can be spiritual. Now when we chant the names of a material object, for example, if I was even chanting the names of Coca-Cola. Now if we chant the names of Coca-Cola, first time Coca-Cola dies. After 5-6 times, we slowly feel, a bit frustrated. And after chanting for 5 minutes, you don't want to see Coca-Cola anymore again. But same thing, if you were to chant the names of a spiritual object, that taste does not deter you. It does not deter you. It actually increases. The thing of chanting the names of a spiritual object, in other words, chanting the names of Krishna, you find that the taste actually increases. We can chant, and we can chant. All of us actually have experience. We are chanting almost, some of us are chanting 16 hours every day. That takes about 2 hours. 2 hours every day we are chanting the same mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. For 2 hours every day. And are we in any way being frustrated? We are not. So we have that little bit of understanding, little bit of faith. The taste is, little bit of taste is there. When we are able to continue this chanting for 2 hours every day, if we were to chant the same Coca-Cola, 2 hours every day, trust me, Guru, you will never want to see another city doing it. So this is the distinction. Now why is spiritual name, like, is ever increasing? Because as mentioned, spiritual names are absolute. The name and the form and the personality Krishna are non-different. And why are they non-different? Because Krishna is absolute. Now what is this meaning of absolute? Absolute means that the Krishna, his name, his form, his qualities and activities are non-different. Are all invested with the same, with all his energy. Any object, be it material or spiritual, can be characterized with these four qualities, four things. Name form, qualities and activities. Name form, qualities and activities. In spiritual objects, these four characteristics are all the same, or all invested in the same potency, in full. Krishna has 64 qualities, the name Krishna also has 64 qualities. Krishna has all six opulences in full, the name Krishna has all six opulences in full. This is the point, this is the meaning of being absolute. Absolute means that there is no difference according to time, place and circumstance. Krishna was supreme, he is full in opulences today, he was full in opulences in the past and he is full in opulences in the future. Krishna is the supreme lord here, he is the supreme lord in the heavenly planets, he is supreme lord everywhere. And when Krishna expands himself, there is no difference, there is no, he is not like expands himself in two, then he becomes Buddha. Sat Aishati and Maishati, Sat Duri, Sat Anduri, Sat Antarasya, Sat Vasya. That even, I am here and I am also there, I am inside, I am also outside. It does not mean that inside is 50%, outside is 50%. Or inside is only 80%, outside 80%. No. Krishna is Om Purna Mada Purna Vida. The verse says that all expansions are complete in itself. So this point, but however, with a material object, name, form, qualities and activities are all different. In their energy, the full manifestation of the energy of the material person or the full manifestation of the relationship you can only have with that person. With a name, you can't really have. Suppose you want to have a relationship with a loved one, you can say, oh, you're so nice, so nice. But who is that person? You can have a relationship with a name. You must be with that person physically, then you can have some relationship with that person. If not, there's no relationship. There's no possibility of a relationship. Suppose you were to go to some interview at some company, and then you were to meet some line manager, some middle management. But then you so happen to know the big boss, the MD, the managing director. And he gave you some name card. Oh, you just show these name cards and he will give you the job. Now, the name card is but an extension of his energy, of the MD's energy. It's an extension. It is his paraphernalia. It is his. Now, if I were to go to the line manager and I would say, I'm coming for this and this job, for this is the card of the MD. The line manager, yes, the card has some value. Oh, MD has given a card. But still, are you sure this card? There's a little bit of hesitancy, there's a little bit of lethargy, a little bit of that. But suppose that same MD comes personally into the room, say, hey, you, this person, I know him very well, he's very good, you better give him a job. Yes sir, I will give him a job. You see the difference? The difference is that person, when he is there in person, the full energy, the full manifestation of his energy is there. But when he is there in his representation, in a name card or some referral letter or something, then the energy is only there in partial. So this is how material objects are. But in the case of spiritual objects, the name is one different. Full quality is invested in the name. In other words, when I say Krishna, then Krishna is present here in full potency. Not in half potency, not like material object, oh, he's just here in spirit. No, he's here in full potency. This is the difference between material object and spiritual object. Now, the next point that we have to analyze is the sound itself. Now, sound, when we describe a material object, then that sound is actually material sound vibration. And when we describe, when we talk about a spiritual object, when we talk about Krishna, then the sound vibration is spiritual. Very quite straightforward kind of a thing. Now, what is the distinction vibrating material sounds. When we vibrate material sounds, what happens is these material sounds will bind us to this material world. Will give us misery. Will entangle us into this material world. This is the quality of vibrating material sounds. When we vibrate spiritual sounds, it will free us. Suppose material sound, if I were to... We can hear so many nice songs are going, some cinema songs or some materialistic songs. All these songs, when we hear, all it does is to invoke in us that spirit to commit such sense gratificatory activities. Or take another example, if you were to now suppose I am Harish Prabhu here and I am talking to him, and suddenly for some, with no offense to anyone or nothing, just unknowingly I gave a very innocent comment. Very innocent, unknowingly, oh Prabhu, your sutta is very nice. Or he has commented, oh, your sutta is very nice. Now I, in my own speculation, I am thinking, why is this Prabhu saying my sutta is very nice? Is he saying out of real genuine, or is he just saying out of the heart? You see how the mind is working. And like this, our mind will give us problems. And the next time when I see him, I will tell, oh, your sutta is very nice. All the sarcasm that I can master, oh, your sutta is very nice. That's very difficult to say sarcasm. But with all sarcasm I want to say, oh, your sutta is very nice. Now he will think, why is he saying so sarcastically? And I think there will be problems. So this is the problem with material sound. It will cause entanglement. It will cause us to create activities for that gratification. And by doing so, what happens? We will entangle ourselves in karma. We will entangle ourselves in sinful actions. By these sound vibrations, we are also engaging ourselves and forcing ourselves into miserable condition. Miserable condition means either misery by the mind, misery by other living entities, or misery by the nature. So all these miseries are being produced by when we vibrate these material sounds. Now, spiritual sound, however, has the quality to free us from this material entanglement. This sound vibration that is spoken about the spiritual matters, about Krishna, this sound vibration has the ability to free us. Therefore, mantras like Hare Krishna mantra, even Bhagavatam, these verses from Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, these verses from Bhagavatam are spiritual sounds because they are spoken by self-realized souls. Because they are spoken by self-realized souls, this sound, this sound vibration of Bhagavatam, these verses, every single word is spiritual sound vibration. And because they are spiritual sound vibration, these verses have the ability to awaken, to purify us. The point that we have to also distinguish is, although these Bhagavatam words are apparently written in a material language or material vowels, you know, in material form you are seeing, you know, still we have to understand, because they are spoken by self-realized souls, because they are spoken by the Lord, this sound vibration is spiritual. Some may have this understanding, oh, this is written not in Devanagari script, no, this is written in English. Sometimes you see them written in Sanskrit, no, sorry, Russian, or Tamil, you know, some other language, you know, or some German or something. And you say, oh, now it's not exactly pure, it is mixed with some language. No, it's not pure Sanskrit. No. These words, you have to understand, these words are spiritual. Spoken is spiritual. It does not matter what material vowels or language that is being used to represent. The words are spiritual. So this point, I just wanted to bring forth this point. Now we have looked at the object, we have looked at the sound. Now we also want to see the person who is chanting. Now the person who is chanting is also important. Now a person who is chanting, the person who chants, the self-realized person, when he chants, that chanting vibration is pure. And that chanting, that vibration is spiritual. A materialistic person, a person who has not realized, self-realized, when he chants, the vibration is material. The vibration is not pure.
False ego is, let me just read the purport.
is self-conscious, self-conscious. The positive is basically thinking that I am the enjoyer, that I am the body. When I am the body, my purpose of life is to do activities to take care of my body, to enjoy my body. So such a thinking is false ego. So a self-realized person, he understands that actually his identity is not his body. His identity is spirit soul. And that his identity as spirit soul, his nature as spirit soul means that he has to take shelter of the Lord and serve the Lord. That identity is realized. And for such a person who realizes this point, he is called self-realized. And such a person, when he chants this name chanting is pure chanting. This chanting of the name is considered pure chanting. When a person who is not self-realized, when he chants the names of Krishna, that chanting is impure chanting. Technically, there are three categories of chanting. Sutta Nam, which is perfect chanting, or pure chanting, clear chanting. And we have Namabhas and Namapras. So these three categories are there. So pure chanting is when we are self-realized. When we self-realize, then we chant, that's pure chanting. But what are these anarthas that we have that is covering the name, such that when we chant, there is no purity? What are these anarthas? The foremost fundamental principle, the anartha, is that we do not understand this sambandha. The sambandha means that we do not understand who the Lord is. We do not understand who the Lord is. The Lord, Krishna, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, full in all opulences, full 64 qualities, 6 opulences, in full he has. This point we do not understand. Also brings to the point that we also do not understand that he is absolute, meaning that his name, form, activities and qualities are all one and the same, invested in full energy. This point we do not understand under the Samatha of Lord Krishna, on Krishna Tattva. The other point that we do not understand is self. We don't understand who are we. We think that we are the body. We think that we are the body, we are not the spirit soul. This point, if you understand that this point, that we are the spirit soul, our duty is to serve the Lord. This is the point of understanding the self. The other point that we have to understand is material nature. If we understand material nature, then we also understand how we can get out of this material nature and come to the lotus feet of Krishna. So once we understand this sambandha, this anartha can be reduced and we can come to Sudhana, pure name of God. Of course, there is also impure chanting at a more baser level. There is also impure chanting. Chanting when there is separation, when there is a separation in the syllabus. Hari is there. Hari is the name of God. Hari is the name of Krishna. Hari is there. Now, Hari is made of two syllables, Ha and Ri. Now, suppose if I were to chant them separately, Ha and Ri. Or suppose there is that when I was actually studying, I had a classmate. I believe he's from Japan. I can't remember. But he was someone I worked with. His name is Hanari. Japanese humanity. So if you find that his name Ha and Ri is there, and in between there's a Na. In between there's a Na. So, Shastras tell us in Chaitanya Charitamrita, this point is mentioned that there is a separation of syllables. There is two effects of chanting, the holy names of Krishna. There is two effects. Although it is faint, it is very distant. But still the effect is there. And by chanting such, there is still some potency is there. This as opposed to chanting them together. When you chant them together, unknowingly you chant them. Just like the example is given of Valmiki. when Valmiki, in his previous life, he was a hunter. And he was hunting killing animals and what have you. So Narada Muni came and he looked at and spoke to the Valmiki and he said, why are you doing all this? You should give up all this. But Valmiki then, then Narada said, never mind, you just chant. Now, Narada Muni is such an expert preacher. Valmiki was so much habituated in the business of killing, was so much habituated, and then his heart has become so hardened. There's no nice quality, he's so hardened that to chant the names of Ram, chant the name of Krishna was so difficult, the tongue is not vibrating. It is not, it's so hard. It is mentioned that when we are so materially entrenched, so much materially, when we are so greedy after material objects, when we are so lucky after material objects, then the heart becomes so hardened that we are not able to relish, or we are not able to chant, even chant these holy names of Krishna. So like this, so Narada Muni is realizing this, he was such an expert preacher. He said, okay, since you are so used to seeing death, you just chant Mara. Mara means death. So you just chant Mara. Mara, you are not understanding, right? Okay, you just chant Mara. So he chanted Mara, 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 Mara. And you notice that Mara is actually flipping Rama. And when you chant Mara, 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 over and over again consecutively, you find that he actually becomes Rama, Rama, Rama. Unknowing chanting. But because the syllables are all together, the effect is even more greater. And we know what has happened. Of course, Valmiki, by chanting like this, he became purified, and we know that he also was the great author of the Ramayana. So this point is that in Bhagavatam 6 to 14, the four types of impure chanting are mentioned. One is chanting indirectly. Chanting indirectly, the example is given of Ajamil. Ajamil, we know that he was a Brahmana, so doing nice puja, seva for the Lord and all that. So one fine day he went to the forest to pluck some flowers, to gather some fruits for the daily puja. When he was going to some bushes and he saw a couple, a low-class woman and a man embracing in an embracing posture. So by seeing this, his mind immediately became agitated and he gave up all the nice things, all the puja, daily puja, all the worship of the Lord. He gave up even his chaste wife and he went after the girl. The low-class girl, he went after her and got married and had sex with her. So like this, he was with her. So natural progression of time, he became old and he had his last son. He had a son and his last son, his name was Narayana. His name was Narayana. And naturally, he was very much affectionate. There was so much affection and so much affection towards the Narsa. So he is called Narayana Kamdiya, Narayana Bhisi, Narayana. Like this he was chanting. So at the point of death, finally death has to come. He is old man, 80 plus years old. Death has to come. So when he came, he has been such a Narsa. He has been drinking, he has been plundering, to maintain the family has been plundering, he has been engaged in all kinds of sinful activities. So naturally, at the end of his life, who will come? Yamaraj, Yamadutas has come. So in the most fearsome form, Yamadutas has arrived with their ropes and with all their paraphernalia to drag the soul out. And by seeing this fearsome form of Yamadutas, Ajamil cried out the most loving thing that he can think of. What is he so much loving of and loved after? What is most loved thing at that time? Is his son Narayana. So he was calling out his son Narayana. Narayana! But little did he know that this Narayana is also the name of the Lord. So although he chanted indirectly, unknowingly, indirectly he chanted, because he chanted without any offense, without knowingly committing any offense, there was purity. Then immediately purified, Vishnu Prasad came and he gave him a second chance. So this point is there. The second type of impure chanting is mentioned is when you chant jokingly, in a joking manner. Example is also given in Chaitanya Leela when Mahaprabhu appeared. So Mahaprabhu appeared during the Luna eclipse year. So it is a habit or it is a practice custom of four times the Vaishnavas when they at the time of Luna eclipse, they would go to the river, and in this case they went to the Ganges, and they would take a bath, and during the period of eclipse they would chant, loudly chant the names of Hari, loudly chant the names of Krishna. They would loudly chant the names. So the Vaishnavas were chanting like this. When the non-Vaishnavas, when they looked, they were looking, why are these guys on the river? It is at night, so cold. They are all in the river chanting, Hari. And they, jokingly, they also look at them all chanting, and in a mocking way they also chanted Hari. So these non-Vaishnavas, in a mocking way, they also chanted, Hari, look at Hari, like this. And because even then, although he was chanting in a joking manner, still there was security, still there was effect. The other type of impure chanting is chanting for musical entertainment. Bhagavan says this. So, without elaborating too much, of course I can say the most gross way. We hear some chanting, you know, some professional singers, they come out with some songs which are by themselves, some Krishna names are there. So like this, when we hear those, although it is for musical entertainment, still there is effect. One of the examples given is when we see movies, when Narada comes in, then normally there is some song of Raji Sultan. So all these are chanting in a musical way, for the song entertainment, for musical entertainment. So such chanting, it is impure, but still the effect is still there. The other way is chanting neglectfully. Neglectfully is chanting. So, of course, this also includes chanting when you chant in front of TV. So, these are there also. So, these are some of the basic forms of impure chanting. When we come to a higher level, is when we understand all these anarthas, when we understand these offenses, then when we chant, we are chanting. What we call knowing, the chanting, knowing all this, is of full cognizance that these are offenses, and we try and avoid these offenses when we chant. This kind of chanting is still in the impure chanting, Navabha stage, but we are chanting, and in this chanting, we are purifying ourselves. Now, this chanting, we give up the gross forms of offenses. Some subtle forms of offenses may be there. Unknowingly we may be chanting and performing some of these subtle offenses. But because we unknowingly perform, this chanting will purify, will awaken within the heart, you are doing all these subtle offenses. And the devotee will seriously also give up all these subtle forms of offenses. And he finally will come to the stage of pure chanting. So when we chant the names purely, then these names will awaken. These names, as I mentioned, all characteristics of a material object can be described. Names, form, quality and activities. So these four qualities, we have to understand that the name, the chanting of the holy names is the primary. It is from the chanting that all others are awakened. Just like when we describe Vasudeva, immediately we understand the quality of Krishna, the characteristic that Krishna is the son of Vasudeva. Yashoda Nandana, oh, he has come as the son of Yashoda. So by this we remember, oh, Girivaradaran, oh, he has come as the gift of Govardhan King. So immediately remember the pastimes of the Lord. So like this, the names of the Lord awakens the purpose, the quality, the activities of the Lord. So the name is primary. The others are coming from the So we have gone through some of the types of anarthas that you mentioned. But in chanting of the holy names, the anarthas, there are also 10 offenses that are mentioned in the. They are also mentioned that to avoid when chanting the holy names. So I will briefly go through the 10 offenses because it is just coming out from this verse so nicely. So the first offense is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated the life of propagating the holy names of the Lord. This point, now when we discuss these 10 offenses, we find that once we understand the potency of the holy name, the quality of the holy names, the spiritual potency of the holy names, and the potency of a self-realized soul who is chanting these holy names, when we understand the Supreme Lord, when we understand ourselves as the servants of the Supreme Lord, when we understand all these, then these 10 offenses we won't commit such offenses anymore. And these offenses become logical when we understand, when compared to this sambandha. When you compare it to this. So, first offense, when you blaspheme the devotees, they are self-realized souls. They are chanting purely, they are chanting so nicely. We are trying to chant. We are trying to chant Hare Krishna mantra to awaken the dormant love of the Lord. And when we look at another devotee whose dormant love has already awakened, and then we are offending him. It's a bit hypocritical. We are trying to become pure devotee, and then when we see a pure devotee, we become offensive to it. It's a bit hypocritical. So it's very logical. How can you offend such a person? You have to take care of such a person so that he can learn and get his mercy, so that he can also have some potency to chant better. Now, blaspheming the devotees, offensive to devotees, can be offensive by action. I'm sure most all of us are not like that. We don't do that. Prabhu, I don't like your face. We don't do that. The other way to offend is by words. This one is more keeping home of it. And the other way is to offend by mind. Offending by words is that we can speak some harsh words. Knowingly or unknowingly, you may speak some harsh words and the other person becomes offended. Of course, if you are really serious, then even in the point of anger, we may say something, the mind, the intelligence will immediately check us and will control our tongue. And the tongue will, even before we say it, the tongue is captured. So it is not so. The mind, the speed of mind is much faster than how much you can speak. The tricky part is offending by the mind. Now this is very tricky because the mind, the speed of mind is always described as, I travel at the speed of mind. Even when I travel at the speed of mind, I cannot reach. Pantastu Koti Saravatsara Sambhara Pai Ratavi Manaso Muni Pungavana. Even if I travel at the speed of mind, I will not reach the ends of the universe and understand you. How? Speed of mind, how do you curb this thing? This thing, this mind can be curbed when our chanting is pure. And when our chanting is pure, our consciousness becomes pure. When consciousness becomes pure, this mind will not offend. Will not offend. So it boils down back to the chanting. When we chant, even in the chant, even the initial state of chanting, we chant and chant and chant. First, we find that the tendency to offend by word, by action, will be gone. Then, the tendency to offend by words will slowly go. Then finally, the tendency to offend by the mind will disappear. Second point, consider the names of demigods and Lord Shiva. The word is equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. So this point we have to understand, because Krishna is Vishnu Tattva, he is Krishna, the Supreme Lord. Whereas the devatas or other living entities for that matter are all on Jiva Tattva. They are not spiritual. So how can you compare something that is spiritual with something that is material? How can you say that the names of something that is spiritual is the same as something that is material? So this is also an offense. We cannot compare. We have to understand that distinction. If we do not understand this distinction between the Lord and the Jiva Tattva, then we have not understood. We still have a bit of knowledge lacking. Third offense, disobeyed orders of spiritual master. This is also a very serious offense. The spiritual master is the one who has awakened in your heart by chanting the mantra. He has awakened the love of God in your heart. And to that spiritual master, you turn around and say, okay, enough, I don't need you anymore. And then you just chuck him aside, kick him aside. This kind of mentality, this kind of attitude, or this kind of action is very offensive. Fourth offense of blasphemy is Vedic literature, literature in presence of the Vedic verse of worship. So Vedas are there describing about Harikatha. Vedas describe about Harikatha. There is this verse which I just came across yesterday. Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Kata Padavanta Cha Madhyacha Hari Sarvatra Viyate. So this verse tells us that in the Vedas, in the Ramayana, in the Purana, in the Mahabharata, you read all this, what is being mentioned from the beginning to the middle and the end, only Harikatha, only Hari, the glories of Hari is mentioned. So in such a Vedic literature, where Harikatha is mentioned, you chuck it aside and you give it with this thing. What kind of mentality must we have? On the other hand, we are trying to chant Hare Krishna, we are trying to say, oh, I want to learn how to serve you. There is a bit of a mismatch. Fourth offense is this of mundane interpretation of the holy name of the Lord. Some examples are given. Krishna, in dictionary, in Sanskrit dictionary, Krishna also can have the meaning of black. So if we take the meaning black as meaning of Krishna, then we chant this Hare Krishna mantra, and so we are chanting, oh black, black is so black. Then that kind of interpretation is wrong. Krishna means all attractive ones. This understanding we must. We cannot come up with our own interpretation. One time there was this in the US, where Prabhupada was there. In one of the room conversations, some devotees came up. Prabhupada, you are chanting very nicely. Now, when we chant, that feels very nice. When we close our eyes and we sit in front, when we close our eyes and we chant, that feels very nice, bright, red light that's coming. And now this red light is now becoming brighter and brighter. Now it's becoming yellow, slightly taking the yellowish hue. It's becoming more and more. So the Prabhupada, this is very nice, Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, yes, this is very nice. You chant some more, the light will go away. So this point we have to understand, the point that we have to understand is that by chanting we cannot interpret that, oh, the chanting is to get some light in our way, or some red light, blue light, chatty light, no. It's not that. Chanting is to awaken the heart, awaken the love of God. So there should not be any interpretation, any funny interpretation given about this chanting. Sixth offense, to commit sinful activities on the... Sixth offense, to consider chanting Hare Krishna with imagination. This one is quite straightforward. We should understand that this chanting is authorized, bona fide chanting. That in the Puranas, all over, that is mentioned, this 16 word, this 32 syllable chanting Hare Krishna mantra is the only way that we can, it's the only way, it's the way that is prescribed for Kali Yuga. Hari Nama, Hari Nama, Hari Nama meditation, Kala Unnati, 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 Unnati. So this point that we are saying, not something that is manufactured. It's not, it's coming, it's authorized, it's one of them. Seven of them, some coming simple activities from the strength of the Holy Name of the Lord. So this point, we come back to Ajahnur. When Ajahnur was chanting, he did not consider this offense. He was not thinking, now Yamudutas are dead, now is the perfect time, now if I chant Hare Krishna, all my offenses are gone, and I can immediately go back to Lord. No, he did not think that way. He did not say, I am going to commit, this mentality that now I can commit all offenses, and next day I can wake up from Mangalarti and chant 15 rounds and everything is Hare Krishna. This kind of mentality we should avoid. This is not very good. Take offense to consider chanting Hare Krishna one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offering the data of the spirit activities, karma dhanda section. So, in karma dhanda section, we find that there are so many activities we can do, performance of performance of puja for forefathers. Like this, there are so many activities are there, so many karma dhanda pujas are there. Then you cannot consider that chanting is also one of them. No, chanting is the main, it is the primary, it is the topmost. All others are all subsidiary, I think. Chanting is the topmost. This point we have to take. Ninth offense, to insult the faithless person of the knowledge of the Holy Name. And tenth offense, not complete faith in the chanting of the Holy Name and to maintain ethical attachments, even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. So, for these points, we have to seriously chant. We have to seriously chant that this chanting, this Hare Krishna chanting, it should awaken it should awaken in our hearts the love. The Hare Krishna mantra has the potency to clear all sinful effects. He has the potency to clear all anxieties and give us peace in our hearts. He has the quality to eradicate all evil influences like demons, spirits, ghosts and all that. And finally, if chanting really will awaken the love of God in our hearts. And if we don't have this faith, then we just continue the process that is given is to just continue chanting. We just continue chanting, because even in the Navavar state, even in the offensive chanting state, we chant and we chant and we chant, that chanting should still purify us. Although the purificatory process is slower. We understand that by chanting the name of Krishna, all the offenses, all the anarthas that have been accumulated for millions of years are cleared from the heart, mirror of the heart. Just by chanting Krishna, one name of Krishna, Krishna, that is enough to clear the thing. But we are chanting 2 hours every day for the past 2 or 3 years. Because this process, because of our impure chanting, the process of this purification is slower. But still, the process of becoming purified is to chant continuously, even go on chanting. And how to chant? With full vigor and more seriousness. We have to chant with more seriousness. There must be chanting, we must chant at a proper time. Although Hare Krishna mantra is so powerful that there is no consideration of time, place, circumstance. We can chant at any time, anywhere, any place, doesn't matter. Other mantras have some restrictions. Like Gayatri mantra means you have to chant only at a specific time of the day. That also has something, you have to go through some purification. So to chant Narasimha mantra also you have to do achievement and all that. So many restrictions are there, so many conditions are there when you chant other mantras. But when Hare Krishna mantra is chanted, this mantra itself is so pure. This mantra itself is so pure that it nullifies all the anarthas, all the disqualifications of time and the So, when we chant, but to seriously chant and really purify ourselves, we must put in our utmost effort. Just like when you want to study something, when you study for examination, we don't study at any place, any time, no. Although the teacher says, why don't you just start in the apostle also did study, even the trainer also did study, or working home also studied. Yes, it is very nice. But actually, if you want to seriously study and really things will go in the way, that means you have to sit down in a nice, comfortable place, in your room, quietly, and then you study, take notes, and all things. When you seriously perform, then things will go in. If you take it in a very haphazard manner, you study the bus, you study while walking and all that, then what happens, the exam results will also be like that only. So this, we have to be very serious. So we have to chant morning when our minds are fresh and there's no distraction. Sometimes late at night, some devotees also find chanting late at night is also effective, because at night there's also no distractions. But most of the acharyas have recommended that we chant in the morning. Nice, fresh, we chant. And we chant very clearly, pronouncing every syllable very nicely. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare. We chant everything clearly. Some devotees have this habit of chanting very fast, Krishna. So mechanically they chant. This chanting very fast, ultimately looks like machine gun. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's a machine gun kind of chanting. This kind of chanting, we have to put in that effort. It's just a matter of, it's our own effort. We just put in that effort and we chant. And we sit in a nice quiet place. We put some Prabhupada chanting tape also. And in that atmosphere, we chant in front of the deities. Like this, we chant, then we find that the quality also becomes much, much more better. And the chanting will have much better purificatory process. And we find that very quickly, you come to the stage of realizing, self-realization. So this verse has given us a very nice opportunity to speak a little about chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. There are so many more points that are there, so many more points that can be elaborated from these points that I've mentioned. But there's also a limited realization of my part. There's also limited time, so we will stop here. Jai Dandashwa Bhavadam Ki Jai. If there's any comments, questions, contributions, corrections.
Thank you very much for the nice speech with us, Mike.
Thank you, Shumji. Thank you very much for the nice response with us and the great stuff us about the focus on chanting. So the other things I want to know, you were mentioning that there are 14 types of chanting mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Four. Four types. Okay. I just want to reference to it. And the other thing is that we see our day-to-day lives, it's so busy. Sometimes it becomes, for me, right now it's very difficult to chant at one place. And I try my best to chant every morning. If I tend to do it at night, there is a high degree that I will fall asleep. So the result is that what would happen is I will not be able to follow the spiritual master for ignoring the instructions of the spiritual master. And on the other side, if I see that I have to chant early in the morning, and that's with one place, and that's not all the places that you have described, then other things will be terribly affected. So what's the solution? What's the best a person can do in such a situation?
The first question is that also answer. But I think she speaks to 40. This person is there to discuss the four types of him of self-efficacy. The second point is a bit more difficult because it just describes the challenges that are faced by many of us today. What I have mentioned is something that we have to aspire for. Ultimately, we have to really, the point is we have to be true to ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves and ask ourselves, are we truly spending all the morning time, that whatever time that is there for proper time, are we putting our best effort? Are we putting our best effort? Are we really doing our chanting, reading in our best capacity as we can? And yes, there is also work and all that we have to balance. But in all balancing all this, are we putting our best effort to keep that utmost quality time for Krishna? 16 rounds in that perfect kind of best timing of the day, in the best posture, may not be possible. There may be lack of time. Sometimes we also have problems sitting down in one place for 16 minutes, for 2 hours we sit down. It is not possible. Our body is not habituated. You can't sit. Even now also, ladies say it. So, sometimes we... So, devotees... there are many practical ways that devotees have taken up. One of the ways that I've heard is to break up the chanting into smaller bits. You chant like 2 rounds or 4 rounds, then you stop, then you perhaps do some other activity like maybe reading or perhaps preparing for some tea or something. Then you come back to chanting 4 rounds again, like this you break up. Prabhupada, in one conversation, he also mentioned a very interesting formula. He said that before you eat, you chant. So you have to eat 4 meals a day, right? So breakfast, lunch, tea time and supper, right, and dinner. So before breakfast you chant 4 rounds, before lunch you chant 4 rounds, tea break 4 rounds, dinner 4 rounds. So like this 16 rounds is over. Like this, there are so many formulas that are realizations that are mentioned by many devotees. But in all these various ideas or pointers that come out, the main fundamental point is we have to be honest with ourselves. Are we really putting in that best effort? Putting in the best timing? And if that timing is given, then all sincerity is given, but we have to fall, because of that circumstance, we are forced to turn at night and all that. Krishna actually sees that sincerity. This point is that in Ramayana, when the squirrel was pushing sand into the water, to build the bridge. Now, sand grain has absolutely no significance in terms of building the bridge. Nobody is going to float by standing on a grain of sand. But yet, when Ram saw this squirrel and Hanuman was holding the squirrel at the point, Ram immediately stopped and said, look, the squirrel service is doing all of his utmost effort. He's putting his utmost effort. He's sincere. He wants to do his best. And in his small sincerity, he's taking up some grains of air in his squirrel hands and he's throwing into the water. And to me, Lord Ram says, to me, I consider that service to be as important, as equal, as effective as what you are doing now. So same, we have to be honest with ourselves. If we are really sincere and do that, sincere and honest that we are putting that best time, the best, then we find that Krishna will give us that strength. And this is my little realization. Any other devotees have something to add on? If not, we can stop here. Chandra Shiva Bhagavatam ki. Anandam Vashya Vinda ki.
That is Prabhupada
ki. That is Prabhupada ki.
I think we'll go on to those last and we'll see the people in the